people everywhere, and every person has a story. Welcome to the Tate Podcast, where voices come together, stories unfold, and communities at the heart of every story.
When I was young, I had come home and I had a report card that I had got from school. And I remember entering into the house and showing my dad and him embracing me and giving me a kiss on the lips. And that's the first time he'd ever done that. And obviously it wasn't weird. It wasn't nothing creepy or anything. It was just my dad kissed me. And years later, I wrote about it. And I kind of, in that story, I tried to frame the events. I tried to give more context to the relationship I had with my dad, because that moment, even though it happened, my dad was not an affectionate man. And so when I tell the story about him and I tell all of that moment, I try and explain how, obviously in my mind, it was always performance, but his affection came with, it was performance based. I had to perform well in order to receive affection from him. I never unpacked this in therapy or anything. I just obviously put two and two together that I believed in order for me to receive love, I have to be good. I have to have performed well. That I was not deserving of love if I had not done anything to deserve it, that is deserving of love. So years later, when I wrote the story, and then I likened it, I think, to my relationship with my home country, his relationship with drinking and my mom. It was a good story, I think. It never occurred to me that in that moment that I needed to dig a little deeper. I needed to have more conversations with my dad at some point, sit down with him. There just was never that sense of any urgency. So when I received the message from him that he was not well and he was in hospital, I didn't really react the way you would expect me to react, because again, after years of unlearning to be loved because of performance, to then come to a point where my dad is sick and he's in hospital and I'm expected to feel a certain way, I couldn't bring myself to do it. I couldn't bring myself to then have this emotional reaction to his failing health, because we didn't have that connection anymore. Because for so long, I felt that I had to be good in order for me to receive affection from him. And there was no way I could be good now, because I had created such strong boundaries with myself that I am not just deserving of love when I am good, but I am deserving of love all the time. So him reaching out to me when he's unwell, for me, did nothing for me. Essentially, it was more like I empathize with you and your situation, but I don't feel the need to build connections again, because you have never showed me that you need me or you want me or you love me. So why should you need me, want me and love me now, when I also have nothing to give you? There is nothing I have for you. I cannot perform for you. While my dad passed away in hospital, he left hospital and then he passed away shortly after leaving the hospital. And we were in communication in text messages. And, you know, I think in the moment I felt the emotion. I remember just sitting on my mom's bed and saying, I'm overwhelmed, because I didn't know how to react. I'm the person who processes things very slowly in my head. I take time to get to the conclusion, because I need time. I need time to understand what's happening, to understand how I feel about what's happening, and to reach a conclusion of my emotions, essentially. So I remember receiving that message that my dad passed away. I remember hearing my mom say the words that my dad has passed away. I remember trying to process, and I remember just going through it and being like, okay, we just need the finances now to send back home and make sure that everything is taken care of. But there was no sense that I needed to return home. There was nothing in me that felt like I needed to go home and see where my dad had been laid to rest. It was like, I would do it at some point. But there was nothing about me booking a flight and just going straight home. It didn't feel like I needed to. I just needed to be by myself. I just needed to be left alone and process it. And I had dreams. I processed it. I dreamt about it. I cried here and there. And I remember on my birthday, it was on my 32nd birthday, I was in Stockholm. And it was Father's Day. And my birthday always falls around Father's Day period anyway. It's in June. But my birthday, on my 32nd birthday, was on Father's Day. And I was like, the irony of my birthday falling on Father's Day is not lost to me. I don't have a father anymore. And this is my day of birth. I remember standing up, coming out of the shower, and just standing by the bed. And I was in Stockholm. And I remember just crying, because that's when the sadness just, I just felt this sadness. And I remember just kneeling down and thanking God for life and just processing that pain, that delayed grief. And for my 33rd birthday, I decided that I wanted to travel somewhere else. I was thinking of New York. I was like, New York is a bit expensive, like accommodation's expensive. But I was looking into it and I was like, I'm trying to make all these plans. Like, yeah, I need to travel because I love traveling for my birthday. It's something that I do for myself. I travel, even if it's just a short trip, it's just to go somewhere. I like being out of this country or any other country to be. I just like traveling. So I remember making these plans, and then there's just a strong sense that I needed to go back home for my 33rd birthday. And I started planning a road trip, and I was like, I'm going to plan a road trip through Zimbabwe. I'm going to travel through Zim. It's something that I've always wanted to do, just never had the privilege. But the strange thing is I'm at a place in my life where my finances are not the greatest as well, because I don't have as much money. I had reduced my hours at work so I could pursue something else on the side as well during my my off days. So the money was very low. I was hit with a reduction from my work because I'd been overpaid because I'd gone part-time, but they hadn't started reducing my hours. It was crazy. So I start planning this thing, and I had no idea how it was going to pan out. I would go into more detail about how my emotions, where I was with my mental health at that point, but I feel like there's a story for another day. I started planning this trip and I had nothing. I had nothing. But I knew that this is the year that I'm going to go back home and I'm going to see my father's grave. And that was at the end of the journey. I will see my father's grave. And I think as I was watching something, I was watching this other show this other time, and I remember just seeing a clip of them doing like lobola negotiations, which is, you know, marriage negotiations, and seeing the dad was present for those negotiations. And I remember just breaking down and crying and thinking, my dad will never get to be part of my bridal negotiations if I do get married, by God's grace. And I remember just breaking down and crying and just thinking of that, and it making me so emotional. And I think that's also, that sort of like pulled me towards getting to the decision of, I need to go back home. I need to go see where my dad is laying to rest. And I need to also lay to rest any other emotions, any other ways I've not forgiven myself for how I wasn't present during his illness, because I had harbored these feelings, even though I did not want to name them as resentment, but they were resentment from the fact that he felt like his love was always equating to performance. You had to perform well in order for him to receive affection from him. And I've forgiven myself to some extent. Some days it feels like I have not forgiven myself, but I think much like grief, forgiveness is not linear. I think forgiveness is also a process. And Dad, if you're listening to this, I forgive you and I love you. Thank you for listening to my story.